Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show live from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent James Roof. Why, hello, sir.
Woo-hoo.
How are you, brother man?
I'm doing well, thank you. Happy Monday.
Thank you, somebody's got a case of the Monday.
Who's got a case of the Monday?
No one. No one. I just like saying that occasionally. How are things in the city of whatever, Angels?
Hey, it's a little overcast here, a little cloudy, a little cool, a little, a little Midwest going on here.
What would you say the temperature is there right now?
67, 71,
Yeah, cry me a river, friend.
Cry me a river. Is it raining there?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, my friend.
I love you.
Are you saying that because you honestly wanted to know or because you wanted to taunt us a little bit?
I'm just saying it's not raining here.
Yeah, well, it's never really raining.
Oh, there's some sun. Nope, there it goes again. I'll get some sun in a few minutes.
I was going to say, stow your garbage, man. You know that you'll get sun, you know, like tomorrow, and it'll be perfect and flawless and whatever.
It'll be sun in 20 minutes.
I'm going to say this. The first time I went to San Diego, it was during El Nino. So I got a totally flawed perspective of what that city looks like. The second time I went back to San Diego, I got a more realistic depiction of what it looks like. And every time afterward that I go back to San Diego, I just went back in February, a couple months ago, it's actually so beautiful in a place like San Diego, which is one of my favorite places on Earth. It's actually so beautiful, it's almost off-putting. Like, it's almost disturbing how beautiful
it is.
Especially
Mission Bay, right around that area.
Yeah, where you're just like, it's so perfect, it's actually kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah, Coronado, head off. Oh! Oh!
Okay, I remember driving across the Coronado Bridge.
Yeah.
And just, not to sit and just talk about San Diego, but driving across the Coronado Bridge and looking down, and that sensation of, I can never afford to stop anywhere in this city. You know? Just that realization when you look around that, like, the average shrub in front of a house in that part of the, the city, it costs more than I will ever make in my life. So. Alright, well, it's a crazy day. First, we got this nutcase in Virginia. Shot all these people, and I mean, it's just this whole, there's a weird energy in the air the last week or so. Just a strange vibe out there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, speaking of strange vibes, they got you on the Spectre thing.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on. You know, the jurors just being questioned, and, you know, it's really.
But the thing is, they're questioning in the Phil Spectre trial, they're questioning, are they not, jurors about. They're asking jurors how they feel about the way celebrities get treated.
Yeah, well, the funniest part of the day so far was the judge telling the potential or prospective jurors not to pay attention to media coverage of the trial. I just love when they...
Which is ridiculous. I mean, the thing they always do, and it's always like, I'll be sure not to do that.
Sure, wink, wink, nudge.
Yeah, sure, which, of course, everybody disregards.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But, yeah, no, the big focus of this juror questionnaire is about celebrity bias. Do these people think that celebrities and wealthy people get preferential treatment by cops? Do they get a fair shake in the criminal justice
system? Does anybody not think that? I mean, really?
I think the better known you are, the better treatment you get, period. Whether it's in the criminal justice system or at the grocery store.
And so, I guess, so what, I mean, it seems like everybody sort of is aware that that's the case. Everybody kind of knows.
But this is different. I mean, this guy's nutty. He's always been nutty. He's not been, while he's this great producing pioneer in music, he's not been a great celebrity over the years, you know? He's been in trouble. So I don't know that this will play like it played with O.J. Simpson or anything else.
It's not so much that he's a celebrity, although he is, especially to a certain generation and to a certain niche if you're a music fan. It really is just the fact that he's ungodly wealthy, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, with Phil Spector, it's less the celebrity factor and more the fact that he's just got more money than God.
Yeah.
So...
slightly.
And so this is, I mean, is there any target date for when the actual trial part of this,
no,
I mean, is it going to be...
this whole process could take, there's like 200 people here. And the lawyers are talking to each one of them.
Here's a dumb question. How much of this slowness in the Phil Spector trial is coming from his side? In other words, would the trial just be going this slowly, like if it was just a normal guy, or is this a deliberate part of the defense's strategy just to make it take as long as possible?
I think this is the judge. The judge is the one who said, I want 600 people in here so I can whittle it down to 12.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it down to 200 now, so we're working our way down.
All right.
But I think the judge is really trying to make sure, only because he says it's okay to have cameras in the courtroom and that America should see the justice system work, especially when celebrities are involved. He wants to make sure he gets 12 people that... you know, have an IQ above room temperature, I guess.
Right,
you know.
Right. All right, well,
but that's going to be tough to find in a jury pool.
I will be looking to see how fast or slow this unfolds, because it really is fascinating, just the snail's crawl at which this seems to be moving ahead. So.
Well, this was supposed to get started at 10 this morning. It didn't get underway until about an hour ago, I guess. You know, it's like, come on.
Fantastic.
Start talking to these idiots.
American justice at its finest.
Yeah.
All right, hey, don't forget, tomorrow is Free Cone Day at Ben & Jerry's.
Even here?
Everywhere, worldwide.
Really?
I have the press release in my hands. Tomorrow, worldwide Free Cone Day at all Ben & Jerry's store locations, sir.
Well, there you are.
Your favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor? Go.
I don't have a favorite Ben & Jerry's.
What? No.
I can't afford Ben & Jerry's. I can afford a free Ben & Jerry's.
You do work in radio.
Yeah.
All right. My brother, enjoy the rest of your day.
Plain wrap ice cream.
Well, hey, they got a thing called the cone, by the way. You should get this. It's a thing. If they sell it in stores, they sell it like a convenience store. It's called Ben & Jerry's the cone. And that's simply, that's all it's called. It is a chocolate-dipped waffle cone filled with chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, and then the whole thing is dipped in chocolate and nuts at the top. It's genius. It's the best thing ever. It's it's like 8,000 calories.
I just gained 5 pounds listening to you describe.
You got to go pick one up, Jim.
Will do.
All right, Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir.
How about it?
Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. Yeah, it's been a weird couple of days, actually. What with the Empire State Building jumper? We have the definitive story on that, the final word on that Empire jumper coming up. We'll get to that later. Let's get a couple of these calls. I'm just going to get these in no particular order. Pam, you're on the Rick Emerson
Show.
Hey,
Rick. Happy Tax Day.
Is it today?
No, actually, it's tomorrow. Today is Emancipation Day.
All right.
And I'm feeling really jolly. You know, I just found a bottle of Oxycodone that I'd lost. So anyway.
Have you taken any of it?
Well, I don't remember, but I feel good.
I call that a big yes.
But you know what? Every time I hear that commercial with Tom Likas and his stool.
This is the sound of my stool in HD radio.
Yeah. I'm thinking, boy, is he constipated. I mean, really?
How many of those pills do you think you might have had today, Pam?
Probably only two. Also, I have a shout-out to Tim.
Uh-huh.
Tim and I have much in common.
Tim, can you... I'm sorry, Tim was actually just leaving the room for a second. Tim, Pam has a shout-out to you.
Tell Tim I have a proposition for him.
Uh-huh.
And it's a holy one. I'm not being a hoe. Tim lived in New Hampshire. I lived in New Hampshire. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Tim is Lithuanian.
Yes.
And I'm African-American.
Okay.
We have so much in common.
Yes.
Anyway, I think Scotty is very witty. I'm sorry. I gotta go. Bye. Have a nice day, by the way.
Okay.
One more thing.
What was your proposition?
She must have been the only African-American in New Hampshire.
I was.
Try to figure that.
I was in Manchester.
Oh, that's the big city.
When John Sununu was governor.
Oh, okay. Wow, that goes back. I was probably still there then.
Oh, wow. We should have hooked up.
We should have.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised I missed you.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking about going to Lithuania, Vilnius.
And you'd probably be the only African-American there also.
Why?
Would you like to come with me?
I've been there.
Oh, let's just... Hold on. Let's stop down for a second.
Oh, okay.
Why are you thinking about going to Lithuania?
I gotta get out of the country. I'm getting my passport in May.
But why Lithuania?
Okay, you can start before you get that passport by that series of hepatitis shots before you leave this country.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know that it's the cleanest of places.
Actually, I don't think I need that because I live near St. John's.
Yeah, so you're already immune to everything.
I've been exposed to everything, baby.
All right.
But anyway, I wanted to leave you with this.
Yes.
The tax man's gonna get you. The tax man's gonna get you. The tax man's gonna get you tonight. Anyway.
You are so high.
I am not high. Anyway, bye.
Bye. Okay. It's 513-733. Thank you, Tim. I think you would have missed that if you'd walked into the room 5 seconds earlier. It's 503.
What shocks me the most is there was an African-American living in New Hampshire, and I didn't even know about that. I might have stayed because of that diversity factor.
Yes, it's a regular United Colors of Benetton. It's 503-733-2970. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, is this me?
What?
I just want to make sure you got a hold of me. This is Paul.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hi. The reason why the Spider-Man movie was being premiered in Japan.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man movies are distributed by Columbia Pictures, which is a Sony entertainment company. Ding, 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 ding. The premier was for the parent company executives.
Oh, so it was for Mr., you know, blah, 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 yeah, who runs Sony.
There you go.
All right, okay, now that makes sense. Fair enough, okay.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Typically, they do that with movies that I don't think are going to do too well. It's like how a lot of musicians will start their tour in, like, Auckland, you know, or someplace that's not America, so they can play for a solid month before they hit the States. Doug, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Excellent show.
Thank you, sir.
I know there's a lot of weightier subjects, but I wanted to touch base on the death of singer Don Ho. A few facts that maybe people don't know about. Don started out in the Ho family bar named Honey's. That's where he got his singing started. He has a wife who is a Ho, of course, Homia. 10 Ho children, all very proud Hawaiian Hos, the most famous of which is his daughter, Holo Ho. She's age 26.
Is all of what you're saying factually correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, just checking. I have no way of knowing.
Okay. You can check out Holo Ho on the website, the Don Ho website, or her own website. She's a beautiful female Hawaiian Ho. And
No, that pun doesn't even work. Don Ho is the Tiny Bubbles guy, right?
That's right.
All right, Tiny, yeah. Did he ever have any other songs?
He did. I couldn't tell you what they are.
All right. That doesn't work either. I'm trying to work on a whole, hold on, let me back up. Let me
get a whole weekend to come up with a line. This happened Saturday.
I know. I failed you. I'm trying to work up a whole, let me get a running start of this here. This is a, let's see. The whole reason I even know about him is because of Tiny Bubbles.
Well, we're going to miss this Ho greatly, and I just want to weigh in with a little memorial.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don Ho.
So
that is the whole of my commentary. That is the whole of my I can't do it. See, I'm trying again and I can't do it. 503-733-2970. Jesus God, is it 128? For the love of holy things. I got nothing. All right. Here's what's coming up. Bottom of the hour news with Tim Roddy. We'll do the top five. We'll get your votes for the worst story of the year. Later on, Peter Carlin. More from Tim Roddy. We'll talk about Scotty J and Listener Party 10 coming up this Thursday. You say it right there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Tim Riley's wearing his, you got a suit and tie on today for reasons that we'll disclose at some future point. You know, you kind of have a Charles McCord thing going on. All you need is those, like, Dr. Laura, the stethoscope earphones. You totally look like
that. Are we not allowed to say?
Oh, well, we're filming a little. We were filming an intro.
It's
for the listener party.
It's going to be awesome.
By awesome, we mean fantastic. It's great. It really was great. We filmed the final piece of it today. Over the weekend. I shouldn't give it away, and I won't.
But we should talk about it at least at some point, because if they don't get there right on time, they're going
to
miss it.
Wait. Hey, you. Sir, just give me the thumbs up. Look at me extorting the listeners to be there on time. No, it's true. And that really is true, actually.
But at the same time, I don't want anyone to see it because I'm humiliated.
It really is. Joni DeRoshi, right now, as we speak, is editing together an introductory film for Listener Party 10. And if you were at the last Listener Party we did, which is last April at Sabala's, you saw what a great job she did with that film. This one, it's different. I don't know if it's better, but it's different. So we just filmed the final segment of that this morning with Tim.
Was the concept Joni's idea? Because that's the most brilliant idea I've ever
had. I don't know. Joni and I were having, it was like some late night, one of our late night 4-hour marathon brainstorming sessions at my father's place. And somehow we walked out of there with that idea. I don't know who came up with it. But we did, Sarah and Scotty and I filmed our segments over the weekend. Tim filmed his this morning with the aid of his crimson tie. And Joni's assembling it as we speak. So you'll get to see that at Listener Party 10, which is happening this Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. introductory video starring the cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show, assembled by Joni DeRoshi. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he's your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The FBI and local police arrested a Washington man for trying to entice a minor for sex. Gregory Charles Dole chatted online with an FBI agent, but he thought it was a 14-year-old girl.
Minor?
I barely knew her.
He's self-employed and lives in Granite Falls, Washington, wherever that is. He traveled to Portland for the sole purpose of, well, meeting this young lady and her friend. The FBI said about 1 in 5 children between the ages of 10 and 17 receive a sexual solicitation of the internet each year. And 1 in 3 people are threatened online by predators or police.
That's made up. That's a BS made up. That is a fabricated statistic. Like when you see, I'm not saying that there aren't pervs on the internet. I mean, really, there's nothing but pervs on the internet. But first of all,
where else would they go?
I'll see, if I was more awake, I'd have some witty rejoinder to that. Even when you see that billboard that 1 in 4 children are sexually solicited on, that's made up. Someone has pulled that out of their ass. That is a fabricated statistic. I don't believe it. Even if it was true, you couldn't prove that it was true. There's no way to know whether that statistic is true or not. Even if it was true, it is by sheer happenstance. It's sheer coincidence that the actual number coincides with the claimed number. That is a statistic that people don't challenge, but that is impossible to verify. Like whenever you and they go, you know, the Oscars this year are going to be watched by 1 billion people. Here's a little fun fact. There's no way to verify that at all. No way. Zero. Period. End of story. No way to verify it. So disbelieve that. Here's Tim Riley.
So the nation is shocked and saddened by today's shootings at Virginia Tech in Washington. 32 dead, 29 wounded. The Asian man who apparently did all this by himself is dead. And the president had to make some remark on this also a few minutes ago.
Schools should be places of safety and sanctuary and learning.
And prayer.
When that sanctuary is violated, the impact is felt in every American classroom and every American community.
Seriously, how long do you think it's going to be before some nitwit starts spinning this into a whole, and God wasn't there to protect them because God is no longer allowed in our classrooms? You know that you're going to get a chain mail from some idiot aunt of yours. Somebody's retarded mother-in-law is going to start sending that around like within the day.
So here's what this the shooter did. He chained the doors closed so people couldn't escape. Then he shot people in 2 locations. First was a dorm, and then a second a classroom, and then he tried to come back to the classroom a second time, but the students held the door shut with their feet, and he was trying to shoot through the door at the same time as they were holding it shut.
Jesus.
But he never got back inside the second time, which is where he committed most of these, apparently. So the gunman is dead, or the alleged single gunman, but the weird thing about this was the first shooting took place in a dorm, and then it was 2 hours before the second shooting at a building much further down on this campus.
I've got this. This says here, Virginia, sound like Borat. Virginia Tech students and an employee say the first email warning they got from the university about the shooting rampage came more than 2 hours after the first shots were fired, by which time he had struck again. So this is from Drudge. So by the time that the school bothered to tell anybody that, you know, a guy was shooting people, he had already started the next shooting rampage. 2 hours. I mean, that just, yeah, everybody at that school is going to be fired and sued by the end of the day. This is going to end. I mean, it's already ended badly, but I mean, it's going to end even more badly when this is over. I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So he was heavily armed, reportedly lined students up. Apparently an Asian man in his mid-20s. All right. Tim, have you seen this thing about the cell phone clip that apparently has the gunfire sound?
Yeah, I saw that.
All right.
I haven't screened it yet.
We should probably screen that before we play it.
Screen that before.
All right, here's Tim Ryan.
Anyway, on to more pleasant things. Looks like the field for potential Bob Barker's successors has narrowed. According to the Hollywood Reporter, the top contenders for the Price is Right gig are Entertainment Tonight's Mark Steins, Vegas Price is Right host Ton Newton, and actor in recent Dancing with the Stars alumni George Hamilton. It's rumored that CBS will wait until the middle of next month to make an official announcement who gets the job. The network plans to air 2 primetime Barker-related specials May 16th and 17th. He's 83 years old and he's retiring after 35 years. He'll take this final show in June.
I regret that I haven't seen that. I never saw Bob Barker. And there's just no way I'm going to get down there before he retires. I regret that I never saw The Price is Right live. It's up there with Johnny Carson. I remember when Carson announced his retirement, my friend John and I made all these plans to go see Carson, but it was just impossible. There was no way I could structure it at the time, and I was just really too young to drive across the country, and I had that many money, and so I do regret that. What, Scotty? Scotty claims he's got a new Connie Chung clip for us here. Let's real quickly see what this is.
Thank you so much.
I've seen Brown. Is that Dio? Fantastic, Connie James Dio. Thank you. I'm going as Connie James Dio for Halloween. I'm calling it right now. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, I had a good Britney Spears story here, but I lost it.
How many times have we heard variations on that phrase in the last 2 weeks? I had some fantastic sound, but now it's gone away.
Well, apparently she made a darn fool of herself on X17. That's a website all the youngsters are visiting these days to see all kinds of crazy things. And I think it was on Sarah Dillon's website today.
Let me see if I have this. I might be able to do this. Right. This is, so what is this? Is this a video? Is this another one of her, I haven't seen anything about this. Is this another one of her idiot home movies?
Apparently so.
Is this another one where she sits in front of a stationary camera and goes, and another thing, let me tell you some stuff about whatever.
Well, this one, she recruited like one of the paparazzi guys to come so she could talk and like send her message to her fans.
Get her message out clean and uncensored. Now, is this clean?
Yes.
We don't know.
No profanity?
There's no profanity.
All right, let's see. I think I have this here.
Did you get it off my site?
Yeah, this is Britney Spears speaking. Let's see if I can get this to play. This is Britney Spears speaking directly to the people. Let's see if this wants to play here. I know how you feel, believe me. Really? This really ought to be a brand new drinking game.
But see, the thing is, we do offer more content than we used to. It just takes longer to get there.
It's true.
So if you're patient enough, you get more. I mean, more than you bargained for, really.
Really, we didn't have these problems when we were not providing so much depth and breadth of coverage to people.
Right.
I'm going to try this again. Okay, now I'm hitting the play button.
All right, you know, let me just play it from mine.
Why
every day? But I don't have the answer to that. I stopped asking. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it isn't.
Okay, I've got it.
$1 billion broadcasting company.
Okay. Do you have something to say to X-17 and the other fans?
Britney Spears.
First of all, say hey to all my fans, and I can't wait for all of my stuff to come out. I'm really, really excited. And also, I just want to say that I'm really, really shocked at how nice our world is, because it's so nice. Like, oh my God.
Okay, pause it. This is not Britney Spears.
Yes, it is.
It's not Britney Spears.
Yes, it is. She is in a dress that I have posted pictures of her in not that day. She's at a restaurant in a dress, in a hat and a wig with her sunglasses on.
You're a little crazy, by the way. Do you realize how much you sound like a stalker? If you had a penis, we would have you in jail.
Dude, you know that.
It's a pity that it's so difficult to hear what she says. I might do... now we don't have the ability to do this. I was going to say if I had Adobe Audition handy, I could go and strip out that background noise and make it a little more audible, sneaker style.
We'll take it raw the way it is.
Let's just take the raw feed. Let's listen really clearly to hear. We'll take Britney rough and raw.
Oh, boy.
And then punch her.
Everything from your life, all the X-17 fans, and all the paparazzi, thank you.
Great, thank you.
I love you, Virgin. Is that the Barat interview?
I was just going to say, that's totally what that is.
So is this her attempt at, is she trying to be funny?
She's trying to be funny.
She's trying to be ironic. That's the thing, right? She's trying to...
She's not clever enough to put together sentences that don't involve...
She doesn't have the right skills to do so.
No, she really doesn't. She doesn't really have a sense of humor or comedy as such.
Okay, so yeah, Brittany went to a tanning session and did sushi for dinner. The two were in the tanning salon. Brittany called for an X-17 photographer, Sandro, to come in and videotape her message to the public. She told him not to ask her questions, but said simply, "It's my time." What a freak.
It's my time. That's the sort of creepy thing. That's what you hear before gunfire. It's my time. I have begun with you. It is prophesied. And then you just hear the rifle. That's a little unnerving.
Maybe no rifle jokes today.
Here's the, I guess my question is, well, no, but that's what you're saying when she says, like, "I have called for you. It is my time. It is now that the purification begins." But Brittany just sounds crazy. I mean, that's the thing. She does sound, I mean, maybe she's just high. But, I mean, she really does sound like she's gone... She really has lost touch with reality. And, I mean, and maybe we're beyond caring about Britney Spears as a culture. But, I mean, I really do wonder where she's going to end up. And not that I really care. Not like Britney Spears is... Like, her life really affects me in any way. But I do kind of wonder about that. Because you got to figure that money's not going to last forever. I mean, really. We're beyond the time... I mean, let's just be honest. Britney Spears' record sales are not what they used to be. I can't imagine that there's going to be a huge resurgence in Britney Spears' old recordings in 10 years. She's not like the Beatles or anything. It's not like these people are going to be, oh, let's all... She's not going to be like Michael Jackson and have a huge career revival.
Well, plus, she's definitely not going to get anywhere being an ass to the public.
No, I mean...
Because the only thing that she has going for her right now is empathy, you know, that people feel for her because she obviously had some kind of mental breakdown. But if that's the way...
The car crash factor.
Yeah, if that's her message, you know, talking about the American public, you're so smart and I'm so stupid, I don't want to have anything to do with
it. I mean, she just seems like... she just seems like a... Like she's in a boat heading seaward. She's not going to be making any money on records. She's got millions in the bank, but you know that she doesn't, you know she's not bright enough to spend that wisely. So I really do wonder how it's going to end for her. Especially because Britney Spears is such a big star that she can't just go back to being nobody. That's the thing. She can't just go back to, like Danny Bonaducci, for whatever anybody thinks about that guy. Danny Bonaducci is a guy who was famous and flamed out. And started at the bottom again and worked his way back up. He told a really gripping story, and I mean this sincerely. He was on KUFO. He came to town a few weeks ago. He told a great story on KUFO about after the Partridge Family, and he had failed, and he was nowhere. He was a busboy. He was a busboy in a restaurant, and not as a gag or like as part of a reality show. I mean, he was a busboy in a restaurant because that's the only job he could get. And people are like, "Hey, didn't you used to be on the Partridge Family?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got to clean your table. Sorry." And that was his deal. He's like, he had to go to work every day as a former television star and clean crap off of people's dishes in a restaurant. I mean, that was what he was doing. Britney Spears can't do that. She was too famous, too global. She can never do that. So I really do wonder, like, what is left for her at this point? Where this particular career, and only time will tell.
Reality television, that's it.
Maybe, but I don't even know that anybody would want to watch it at this point. You know what I mean?
No, I consider not an individual show, but as a celebrity guest star, like on one of those Dancing with the Stars things or something.
Maybe. I don't think she'd do it. I don't think her ego would allow her to do it. I don't think Britney Spears, and I don't know her, but just my read on her,
you know,
and the way she interacts with the public, I think Britney Spears is in such a bubble and is so insulated and is so isolated from any sort of reality. Like that video totally shows it, too, that she just has contempt for people and the public and the press. I don't know that her ego would allow her to be part of any sort of ensemble show, and I don't think anybody cares enough about her to watch. Like, no one watched that Newlyweds, or not Newlyweds, whatever that show is she did with Kevin Federline.
I watched it. Just a couple of them. Chaotic.
And correction.
It was terrible. I only made it through the first episode. It was so boring.
Let's do one more here with Tim Riley. Never mind. One more what? Never mind. It's 503-733-2970. Forget I spoke. Let me read a couple. Here's what we'll do. Let me read a couple emails. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will on the other side of this. Tim, should we do news on the other side of this or at 2:30?
Let's do it on the other side of this.
Okay. How are things working out over there?
Oh, fine. I'm trying to juggle many tasks at once.
Is that working flawlessly?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. News from Tim Riley, then Peter Carlin, and then we'll read some of these submissions for Worst Story Ever. You stay there. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.